The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. This is Sam Livingston, and I will be your host for today's show. On today's program, we are covering two main topics. If you've been on Twitter or following the news recently, you've undoubtedly heard about the big controversy in the NBA going on with bowing to China. So we'll talk about that in the first half and why that is significant. And then in the second half, we will have a brief update on the latest from Bill Barr's investigation into the 2016 election. So we'll go ahead and hop right into today's show. This latest controversy with the National Basketball Association and China. How did all of this start? It's been getting very heated between the left and right in the United States. It makes the quote-unquote woke corporations look like the hypocrites that they are. This has really exposed a lot about these organizations and what they truly value. So let's just quickly go through this controversy. Let's go ahead and begin at the beginning. How did this start? It started with a tweet from the general manager of the Houston Rockets. His name is Daryl Morey. And he tweeted the other day, fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. Wouldn't seem too controversial. Fight for freedom. That's what America is all about. And that is what the people of Hong Kong are fighting for their independence from communist rule in China. That tweet, however, triggered a firestorm in China. The Houston Rockets are a very popular team in China. One of their most famous players, Yao Ming, is from China. He retired years ago. But this team is very popular over there, and the NBA has a large market in China. So when China saw this general manager for the Rockets take sides with Hong Kong, they were outraged. This is a quote from the BBC. This article is titled, NBA boss Adam Silver defends freedom of speech amid China row. It says, Chinese officials and media have reacted furiously to foreign expressions of support for the protesters and accused the West of interfering in Chinese affairs. In response to Mr. Morey's tweet, state-run broadcasters CCTV and Tencent Holdings, which streams NBA games in China, said they would stop broadcasting Rockets matches, or Rockets games for Americans. On Sunday, the CBA suspended cooperation with the team, as did a Chinese sportswear brand and the club's sponsor in China. So China is upset by this figure on the Rockets team saying that they side with Hong Kong, and they said, we're not going to broadcast your games in China. You're losing your sponsors in China. And this is a huge market for the NBA. And then on Monday, Mr. Morey, Daryl Morey for the Rockets, deleted his original tweet. And he bowed to China's demands. And then he posted this online after he deleted his original tweet. He posted, I did not intend my tweet to cause any offense to Rockets fans and friends of mine in China. I was merely voicing one thought based on one interpretation of one complicated event. I have had a lot of opportunities since that tweet to hear and consider other perspectives. I have always appreciated the significant support our Chinese fans and sponsors have provided, and I would hope that those who are upset will know that offending or misunderstanding them was not my intention. My tweets are my own and in no way represent the Rockets or the NBA. He offended the market. He offended all the fans in China, and they were outraged at what he said, and he had to backtrack that comment. He had to backtrack and delete his tweet that said, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong." We'll get into it a little bit later, how hypocritical this is for the NBA when you consider things like bathroom law in North Carolina and the NBA not hosting the All-Star game in Charlotte, North Carolina, because they wanted to display or they wanted to protest that law, and they refused to go and play the All-Star game in North Carolina. Meanwhile, they're bowing to China to preserve that market. And China is not exactly a free country, if you're familiar with the news coming out of there, and we'll get to that a little bit later as well. So this is embarrassing not just for the Houston Rockets, it's embarrassing for the NBA, this woke corporation, as it's called. And there's a lot of money to be made in China, and you can't offend them, so you can't criticize them. Is that freedom? And this is happening a lot more in America. Corporations forcing people to say and do things and holding money over their heads. We control the market. You need to say and do what we want. You need to toe the line. And now there's this huge debate across the NBA, sacrificing American values to please the market in China. People have shown up to basketball games with posters that read "Free Hong Kong" and "Google Uyghur," and those are that's the Muslim group in China that are being forced to go into internment camps. And again, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but 1 million people estimated to be in these internment camps in China. Actual camps in China, and we cannot criticize them. The staff at those stadiums asked the people who brought those posters to remove them. They took them away. And this is after the NBA president says we need to respect free speech. Now the NBA says it wants to back out of politics. Nothing political. Don't talk about politics. Leave it out. We're just here for the game. Don't criticize anything that's going on in China. It's too complicated. Don't bring it up. ESPN, they showed a graphic of China on one of their video screens, and there was a dotted line southeast of China marking territory belonging to China. I think it's called the Nine Dash Line. And within that line is Hong Kong, Taiwan, and the South China Sea. And people were shocked when they saw this map because it's the map that China wants them to use. Taiwan is supposed to be an independent country, but China says Taiwan belongs to them, so they draw its border around Taiwan. The NBA and ESPN, they're not the first companies to do this, to bow to China's demands. Someone put a list together online, someone mentioned this to me, of companies that have had similar run-ins with China and have backed down over it. I'll just read a couple of these. Mercedes apologized for hurting the feelings of the people of China for quoting Dalai Lama on Instagram. American Airlines, Delta, United, they deleted any mention of Taiwan as a country from their websites after China gave them the order. Audi apologized for using an incorrect geographical map of China that left off Taiwan. That's one that appears on a lot of that appears a lot on this list. China getting upset at companies because they show a map of China, but Taiwan isn't there. So the companies then go ahead and put Taiwan on the map. A couple more examples here. Qantas, Air France, Air Canada, British Airways changed Taiwan to Taiwan, China on their websites after China again asked or told them to do that. Gap, the clothing brand, apologized to China for selling t-shirts in Canada that didn't include Taiwan as part of China. Marriott Hotels fired an employee who liked a tweet from a Tibetan group. And Tibet is another disputed area of China that China says belongs to them. So these companies are bowing to China's demands. Why listen to China? And what's going on in America and Britain, these Western countries, that they don't have the strength to stand up to them and say no? A lot of it has to do with money. It's over a billion people in that country, one of the largest emerging markets in the world, obviously. But this story, and we'll get into this a little bit more in a bit, vividly illustrates exactly the condition the Bible said our nations would be in before the tribulation. And we'll look at those prophecies a little later on. But here's another example to highlight this point again. The NBA says, well, we're not talking about politics anymore. We'll just go ahead and do what China says. We'll back down because we don't want any controversy. We don't want to upset them. We don't want to rock the boat with the market over there. And we won't talk about politics anymore. This is the same league that has coaches like Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich who have stood up at interviews and said Donald Trump is racist, that belittle the United States in front of the world. I'll go ahead and play a clip here. This is from the coach of the Golden State Warriors, Steve Kerr. And this is what he said about the United States after Donald Trump was elected. His team, I think they won the NBA Finals, and they're talking about visiting the White House. And this is what Steve Kerr had to say in that press conference.
Into politics, but you know, then all of a sudden you're faced with the reality that that the man who's going to lead you is has routinely used racist and misogynist, insulting words. That's a tough one.
It's tough to live in America when the president is racist and misogynist. I don't think we're going to be able to visit the White House. I can't imagine living in a country like this. There have been a lot of other clips where they've said this has been going on for 3 years now. 3 years, America has been racist and misogynistic and so on. That's not controversial. Not a problem for an NBA coach to delve right into politics and talk about the president of the United States that way. And when Steve Kerr was asked the other day about this whole China episode, he's got no comment. Nothing to say, no words of condemnation, nothing to say about human rights, nothing to say about the internment camps or the massive surveillance state that China is, nothing to say about protesters being shot in Hong Kong. And these are the same people that talk about democracy dying in darkness, and that Donald Trump is the greatest threat our country has ever faced. And China is living out these things that they scaremonger about. And then this is Steve Kerr. This is when he's asked about China. He's got no comment.
Actually, I don't. I mean, it's a really bizarre international story, and a lot of us don't know what to make of it. So it's something I'm reading about, and just like everybody is, but I'm not going to comment further.
It's a pretty bizarre international story. I don't know what to make of it. I'm not going to comment further. Just shut down. Nothing to say about what China's doing. And rightly so, President Trump called him out over that.
Well, the NBA is a different thing. I mean, I watch this guy, Steve Kerr, and he was like a little boy. He was so scared to be even answering the question. He couldn't answer the question. He was shaking. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. He didn't know how to answer the question. And yet he'll talk about the United States very badly. I watched Popovich, sort of the same thing, but he didn't look quite as scared, actually. But they talk badly about the United States, but when it talks about China, they don't want to say anything bad. I thought it was pretty sad, actually. It'll be very interesting. Excuse me?
Are you okay, then, with the Chinese government pressuring the NBA over Hong Kong?
They have to work out their own situation. The NBA, they know what they're doing, but I watched the way that, like, Kerr and Popovich and some of the others were pandering to China, and yet to our own country, they don't, it's like they don't respect it. It's like they don't respect it. I said, what a difference. Isn't it sad? It's very sad. To me, it's very sad.
What a difference. They belittle the United States. They accuse it of being this great racist country, this terrible place to live. And meanwhile, everything that they're accusing the United States of doing is happening in China, and they can't say it. This is a soundbite from Greg Popovich. He's the coach of the San Antonio Spurs. He said this a couple years ago. I think this was right after the election of Donald Trump. This is, again, Greg Popovich saying, we live in a racist country.
You know, we live in a racist country that hasn't figured it out yet. And it's always important to bring attention to it, even if it angers some people. The point is that you have to keep it in front of everybody's nose so they understand it still hadn't been taken care of and we have a lot of work to do.
We're a racist country. We haven't figured out how to deal with it. It still hasn't been taken care of. We have to keep talking about it to keep it in front of everyone's faces. We still have a lot of work to do. But none of them can say that about China. There's no problem calling the United States racist. Meanwhile, China targets people based on their ethnicity and their religion and puts them in actual internment camps. I mean, it's shocking that we have to explain what is happening in China. It's shocking that we even have to mention that the United States and China are on two different levels. Think about how often you hear the President of the United States, Donald Trump, compared to Adolf Hitler. I heard it yesterday in the car. I was listening to BBC radio, and they don't even think twice about making that comparison. It's just, it comes out, and no one thinks to even question it. It was an interview. It was about by the author of this book, and he had compiled all of these speeches that changed history, good and bad speeches. And he was talking about it in this interview and said, this book contains speeches from great figures of history. It contains speeches from the greats and the not-so-greats, Hitler, Stalin, Trump. And it didn't even faze him that he had just lumped in Donald Trump with Hitler. Well, that's just common sense. We all know he's that evil. We all know what he's doing is on par with Hitler. I saw today what was trending on Twitter was Trump genocide over what's happening in Turkey and Syria. It's not Turkey's fault. You can't blame Erdogan and Turkey for invading Syria and slaughtering the Kurds. No. Donald Trump is responsible for that genocide too. And meanwhile, China is actually running internment camps with over 1 million people in them. And these corporations, these liberals in the media that claim to be so righteous and so woke is the term, so aware of human rights and human dignity, they can't say a word about it. Well, why is that? Well, there's so much money to be made. We can't offend China. Let them do what they want. That's their business. And we'll just make a couple billion off of it and go about our business. And we have to not talk about the bad things that they're doing, because if we do that, then they're not going to like us and we're not going to make money. That they are hypocrites. And they can't stop talking about racist President Trump. And meanwhile, they're scared to say anything about China. Aren't these people courageous? Aren't they so powerful and so righteous for standing up for the truth? Well, they don't really stand up for anything. They're behaving like hypocrites. And this clip Mr. McDonald sent yesterday, and this is of a reporter. She is, I think, asking this question to James Harden and LeBron James, two of the biggest players, biggest name players in the NBA. And she asks a question about China, and listen to what happens.
Hi, Christina McFarlane, CNN. The NBA has always been a league that prides itself on its player and its coaches being able to speak out openly about political and societal affairs. I just wonder, after the events of this week and the fallout we've seen, whether you would both feel differently about speaking out in that way in future.
Excuse me, we're taking basketball questions only.
It's a legitimate question. Exactly. This is an event that's happened this week during the NBA. This particular question has not been answered. James.
Any other questions?
Gentlemen in the front.
If you couldn't hear it, one of the moderators said, only ask questions that pertain to the NBA. And the journalist had to argue with her and say, well, this is happening right now. It happened this week. This has to do with the NBA. And that moderator said, no. Anyone else have a question? And James Harden and LeBron James sat there quietly. They didn't even want to answer. They can't. They're not allowed to. Is that freedom? Are these courageous people that are standing up for what's right? I mean, it's so hypocritical for these players to stand up and say this about Republicans and about the president. Racist, racist, misogynist, every bad word you can think of. They're out there. I remember watching them do warm-ups, and they're wearing T-shirts that say, hands up, don't shoot, for that man Michael Brown in Ferguson, which was a lie. Well, what about getting into politics then? The same thing for Eric Gardner in New York. Can't breathe. I remember that T-shirt too. What about staying out of politics then? Well, it didn't affect the market that bad. That didn't affect ratings. Oh, but China, they're not a democracy. They have concentration camps. Well, don't go there. Don't talk about what they're doing, because we have, you know, potentially a billion fans in that market, and we don't want to offend them, even though what they're doing runs absolutely 100% contrary to what we say is right. And again, you can't even reason with that sort of thinking. And China is, it's running the NBA now. I mean, to see those two players, as outspoken as they have been in the past, sit there quietly, didn't nod, didn't shake their heads, just sat on their hands. Next question. Any other questions? We can't go there. This is an article. This was in the Federalist. This is by David Marcus. It's titled, "The NBA's Hypocrisy Over China and Charlotte is Astounding." There is a place called China where a million Uyghur people are being held in concentration camps and having their culture systematically destroyed. There is a place called the United States where some states and localities restrict access to bathrooms and locker rooms on the basis of biological sex. That's not too crazy. There's a men's restroom and a women's restroom. What a terrible country to live in. This article goes on. In China, the NBA is thrilled to bring their teams and market their product. In Charlotte, North Carolina, the NBA refused to bring their 2016 All-Star game to protest the state's bathroom law. The league decided to punish Charlotte for passing a law it did not like, but which came to be through a democratic process. Not only is China not a democracy, but is right now involved in a violent crackdown against the pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong. In a public relations disaster over the past few days, NBA stars have parroted Chinese propaganda, and a confused commissioner, Adam Silver, can't seem to decide how much censorship he's comfortable with. That includes fans removed from an NBA preseason game on Tuesday night for holding up signs supporting the Hong Kong protests. The bottom line here is money. The NBA has 2 to 3 billion global fans. The National Football League and Major League Baseball both have about 500 million, respectively. So the NBA is very popular around the world. I think it's probably the most popular American league. I see a lot about it in Europe, especially in China. The article goes on, the enormity of the Chinese market makes it far too attractive for the NBA to ignore. After all, what's a concentration camp or two if there is money to be made? But there is something else at work as well. The NBA has very consciously crafted an image as a woke corporation. While showing support for protests against the U.S. government and even engaging in a protest such as their stunt in Charlotte, the NBA is trying to position itself as a moral entity, even as an arbiter of what is morally acceptable, to the extent that it believes it has some moral authority in these areas. That authority is made completely bankrupt by their cowardly kowtowing the communist government of China. Here they are preaching about right and wrong in the United States. Well, this is evil. How dare you not have transgender bathrooms? And China, you look over at China and their laws are insane compared to what we do in the United States. And the NBA can't say a word about it. Going on with this article, if the NBA wants to ban its employees from talking about politics to protect its brand's viability in China, that's gross, but they are a business. But if they do so, that ban should apply to all politics. The NBA should not reward the illiberal and authoritarian Chinese government for its censorship policies while announcing a free-for-all on conservative political policies in the free United States. The NBA may well see itself as an ambassador for America and its values around the world, but when it defies those values to give comfort to dictators, it also serves as an ambassador from China to the U.S. It sends the message, China is just a country, just like any other. There's nothing wrong with China, and that is vastly more valuable to the communist government than any basketball game. Look how weak the United States is. Look at these huge American businesses, so worried about the market, so worried about money, and on the other hand, preaching endlessly about how evil half of the United States is, how racist it is, boycotting North Carolina because of a bathroom law. We're so righteous. We know what's right and wrong, and we're going to use our share of the market to influence places like North Carolina, because they want our business, so they're going to change their laws. But when it comes to China, that's a different story. This exposes them for the hypocrites that they are. And look how embarrassing this is for the United States. I think it was Greg Popovich. He said the United States is an embarrassment. He said it for the wrong reason. He said it because, well, we're so evil and we're so racist and misogynistic. I think America is being embarrassed for other reasons. Look at the division in the United States. Look at these corporations that stand on their or sit on their high horse and talk about how great and righteous they are, and they can't say anything about an actual communist state that has concentration camps in it. It reminds me of Leviticus 26, verse 19, where it says, "And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass." There's no pride in your power. The United States has power, but that pride is broken. No one is looking at the United States and saying, "Hey, we're making progress here. At least we're better than China." And this is the 70th anniversary of communist rule in China. And I've heard commentators all over the liberal media praising China for their ability to bring people out of poverty. Absolutely no mention of how the United States has played the key role in doing that. And they're just praising those systems over there. Meanwhile, they turn around at the United States and talk about how evil it is. They hate their own nation. They have no pride in their own nation. And that's a curse. It's a result of disobedience. And that curse, that really helps identify the United States in Bible prophecy. Do you see any other nations that behave this way, that are so self-loathing? Russia and China, they're terrible countries. Who would want to live there? But they're so proud of themselves. And America, it's been the most prosperous nation this world has ever seen. And we can't even be thankful for that. Americans can't unite over anything. It is an embarrassment. And all of this bending over, bowing over to the demands of China, it is a sign of the end time. It's a sign of the times that we are living in. This is a symptom. It's a product of sin. Luke 21 and verse 24 says, it describes the times of the Gentiles. This is one of the signs just before Christ's return. The times of the Gentiles. Look at how China is being praised by the United States. Look at the clout and the power that they're holding over the United States, over these corporations who just do what they say when they snap their finger. You want Taiwan on the map? We'll do it. Just don't boycott our product or our company in your country. We'll put Taiwan on the map. If you want to take over a sovereign nation, go ahead and do it. We're all for that, because we don't want you to close off that valuable market. We're all in it for the money. Forget principles, forget right and wrong. And we can look past the concentration camps. We can look past the surveillance state. We can look past all of the human rights abuses in Hong Kong. Just don't close off your market. We will put Taiwan on the map if that's what you want. We'll put the South China Sea down there if that's what you want. We'll give you Hong Kong, Tibet, take them all. And then they come back and look at the rest of America and talk about how evil it is. It's frustrating to see this happen. I thought I would just read a few quotes here from this Trumpet article. China's ethnic cleansing campaign. This was written on August 20th, 2018. This is going on right now in China. The United Nations has received credible reports that China is holding as many as a million ethnic minority Uyghur Chinese and other ethnic minorities in internment camps for the purpose of political re-education. This is 1984-style re-education programs, Nazi Germany-style internment camps. The UN report, released August 10th of 2018, said that the Chinese government has created what is essentially a massive internment camp that is shrouded in secrecy. The mass arrests amount to an ethnic cleansing campaign, a systematic attempt to snuff out religious dissent and political discord in China. The Uyghur ethnic group is primarily Muslim. More than 10 million Uyghurs live in northwestern China in the autonomous Xinjiang region, an area with valuable oil deposits. However, the region has only been under Chinese control since 1949, and some Uyghurs want their freedom back. Ethnic tensions are high. After several incidents of violence in Xinjiang between Uyghurs and Han Chinese, the largest ethnic group in China, the Chinese government cracked down on them, blaming the violence on Islamic extremism. In April, the United States Congressional Executive Commission on China wrote a letter to the U.S. ambassador to China about the mass arrests of these peoples, the Uyghurs. The commission, headed by Senator Marco Rubio, called the situation the largest mass incarceration of a minority population in the world. Up to 3 million Uyghurs and other minorities, mostly Muslims, may currently be imprisoned in counter-extremism centers and re-education camps in Xinjiang. A senior Chinese official, however, insisted last year that Xinjiang's Muslims are the happiest in the world. It's right. It's just like Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany propaganda. Well, the concentration camps, those are wonderful places. Everyone wants to go there. What a happy place to be. And here's the West being duped by this. And it's really, they're not even being duped by it. No one is that dumb. They just don't want to say anything about it. There's too much money. They don't have enough courage to stand up for what's right. One more paragraph from this article. China's communist government strictly controls religion. Religions not approved by the government are persecuted or banned. This is exactly what the radical left in America accuses Donald Trump of doing every day. So many people say, well, I can't bear to live in this country. It's so oppressive. He's getting so bad. And what has he done? Meanwhile, China is actually doing all of the things that they scaremonger about, and they don't make a peep. Do they care about human rights? They're hypocrites. Continuing on with this Trumpet article, it says, China officially recognizes five religions: Buddhism, Islam, Catholicism, Protestantism, and Taoism. However, each of these religions is directly supervised and controlled by a state-run organization, such as the Patriotic Association of the Catholic Church in China. Following a religion other than these five is a criminal offense. Do they have freedom of religion in China? Nope. Only state-approved religious materials are allowed. Religious adherents can be arrested for possessing or distributing material that is not government-approved. This is happening in China. And we can't say, I stand up for Hong Kong. NBA players can't say, I don't like what's going on there. Are those people really free to say what they want? The good news in all of this is that these are Bible prophecies, that there are Bible prophecies being fulfilled here. And it's difficult to watch. It's difficult to watch America behave this way. It's frightening. But we have the Bible, and it's amazing to see these trends and to see these symptoms as they fulfill prophecies like Leviticus 26, verse 19, Luke 21, and verse 24. These are terrible things to watch. It's terrible and sad to watch them happen, but it's all very exciting as well, because these are all indicators that the Bible gives that Christ's return is right around the corner. I'll just conclude this segment with a quote from Mr. Joel Hilliker's article, What Happens After a Superpower Dies? This is from January 2014. He writes, Christ prophesied that we are about to enter a time when America's and Britain's global influence will be snuffed out and Gentile powers, that is, non-Israelite nations specified in other prophecies, will wreak unimaginable havoc on earth. Jerusalem, the literal city located in modern-day Judah, will be trodden down of the Gentiles. Revelation 11, verse 2, also shows how the Gentiles shall tread underfoot the holy city for 42 months, or 3.5 years. But Bible prophecy also uses Jerusalem, the capital of ancient Israel, to symbolize all of modern Israel, chiefly the Americans and the British. This seismic shift in geopolitical momentum away from America and toward a clutch of non-Israelite Gentile powers, accompanied by an escalation in brutal violence and war, is actually good news, ultimately. It is one of the signs Jesus Christ gave of his imminent return. And with that, we'll go ahead and take a quick break. And after the break, we'll give a brief update on where Bill Barr's investigation into the 2016 election is right now.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. America's status as the world's lone superpower is rapidly fading. Other nations and groups of nations are angling to fill the void. Rising in the East is an emerging power block of tremendous potential in manpower, economic heft, and military might. Its growing presence is intensifying global competition for resources and for geopolitical influence. Where will this trend lead? What does this mean for you? Biblical prophecy provides a remarkable, penetrating preview of Asia's future. Request a free copy of Russia and China in Prophecy. This book exposes in startling detail what Russia and China are doing and will do, and how they will affect your life. Also, you'll be sent a free one-year subscription to The Trumpet magazine. The Trumpet looks at today's headlines through the clear light of Bible prophecy. The Trumpet will keep you up to date on the continuing rise of the powers in the East by taking a hard look at today's news and comparing it to the prophecies of the Bible. The Trumpet magazine is this world's most informed news magazine. To learn more, request a free copy of Russia and China in Prophecy. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. Act today and request Russia and China in Prophecy. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back, and we'll go ahead and begin this segment, like I said, talking about where Bill Barr's current investigation into the 2016 election is heading. We'll go ahead and start with a quote here. This is from PJ Media. This is Roger Simon, and the title of this article is Democrats' Fear of Durham, and that's John Durham, who's investigating with Bill Barr. Democrats' fear of Durham about to reach panic level. The important news of the day, far beyond the inevitable tedious impeachment jousting, is that John Durham's investigation of the provenance of the FBI's counterintelligence investigation of possible Trump-Russia collusion has expanded, according to several administration officials. So that investigation into the investigation is getting bigger. They're having to widen the scope, which is an indicator that there's a lot more corruption than we thought. There's a lot more happening than we may have known about. Continuing on with this PJ Media article, Fox News previously reported that Durham would be reviewing the days leading up to the 2016 election and through the inauguration. However, based on what he has been finding, Durham has expanded his investigation, adding agents and resources, the senior administration official said. The timeline has grown from the beginning of the probe through the election and now has included a post-election timeline through the spring of 2017, up to when Robert Mueller was named special counsel. So they need to do more. They need more help. They need more agents. They need more resources. They have to expand the time frame to investigate here. And this writer speculates about why they're doing that at the same time that this investigation is going on. So there are two or three actually happening right now. The Inspector General of the Department of Justice, that's Michael Horowitz, he's doing an investigation, and that's, you could say, like an internal investigation, and he does his report, but he doesn't have powers to indict or subpoena anyone. He just kind of goes around, tries to figure out what happened. People volunteer to interview. He can't compel them to do interviews, but he's already put together some very condemning reports. He's actually gone pretty soft on a lot of these people, and that's why it's important that Bill Barr and John Durham are also conducting their own investigation, and they actually have the power of the Department of Justice to compel people to interview. They can indict people for crimes. They can subpoena people and make them actually appear at these interviews. They have the backing of the law to do this investigation. This writer says, it could be related to the length of time it is taking Inspector General Michael Horowitz to deliver his more limited report that has been repeatedly promised for some months now. Previously, Horowitz was criticized for pulling his punches on the Hillary Clinton investigation. This will not be so easy now with Barr and Durham going over the same material. Horowitz is not able to interview those no longer working for the government, most of the potential miscreants having slipped away. But Barr and Durham have no such restriction. They can follow leads anywhere. So like I said, Horowitz, he can only investigate the Department of Justice now. And Barr and Durham, they can go wherever they want. Continuing on here, recently that has taken them to Italy to speak with intelligence officials. They have also apparently spoken with their peers in Australia and the United Kingdom. Did something come of that? It would be strange if it didn't, especially now that we have learned that Durham's mission has expanded. This indeed should strike fear in the hearts of the Democrats. The Department of Justice holds the whip hand. They can indict people. Yes, the Democratic Congress can impeach, and no wonder they are trying their best to do that now. They are riding high, or some of them may think they are, because of polls and the nonstop outrage of the media. But most of the public doesn't know the full story or anything close. The truth rarely emerges quickly. In Churchill's words, a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to get its pants on. Eventually, however, it does. And when it does, in this case, if the Democrats have already impeached a president, if it turns out there was a coup plot or something close involving the CIA, the previous administration and others the previous administration will have a lot to pay, because we haven't seen division like this since the 1860s. And they go on talking about how if this is exposed and what we see here comes to light, it could lead to civil war. There is great division in the United States. There was a coup attempt, and now those perpetrators are trying to cover it up. They're trying to hide it, and they're slowly being exposed right now, and they're getting angrier and angrier about it. And they keep talking about how they followed protocol and they obeyed the laws, but these investigations are probably going to find that they did not. They did not even come close. They clearly broke laws. And if those things come out, this coup could just flip overnight, and it could take on a new form. You know, they might just give up on spying and trying to do things in the courts. Who knows? I thought this article was interesting. This is from Thomas Baker at the Wall Street Journal. It's titled, "The FBI is Lucky to Have William Barr." Attorney General William Barr has come under harsh attack from Democrats, the media, and former officials such as John Brennan, who ran the Central Intelligence Agency under Barack Obama. This author, Thomas Baker, says, "I served during Mr. Barr's first stint as Attorney General from 1991 to 93, and am glad he's back. The Bureau was let down by poor leadership under former Director James Comey. It was led down a rabbit hole into a baseless investigation of a presidential campaign." Well, I would argue it wasn't led down that rabbit hole. It decided to go down that rabbit hole. It decided to do all of these things. "And the FBI's reputation has been tarnished by headquarters sycophants, people who just praise the FBI and believe it can do no wrong. Mr. Barr has the character and experience to get the Bureau back on track." And I'll quote later from Mr. Gerald Fleury's article where he said pretty much the same thing. And he gives, this author gives a few examples from Mr. Barr's time and experience as Attorney General. He says, "On August 21st, 1991, 121 prisoners rioted at the Talladega Federal Correctional Institution in Alabama and took 10 or 11 hostages." And it just goes on to talk about how Mr. Barr came in there and he did not have any fear. He sent in the hostage rescue team. They took over the prison, got back control. And after that incident, Mr. Barr was appointed to be the attorney general. At that stage, he was just acting attorney general, waiting for someone else to fill in. And then George H.W. Bush saw his resolve in dealing with that situation and decided to go ahead and make him the attorney general. This author says, Mr. Barr showed no fear. That became his reputation among agents. He continues to live up to it. A case in point is the explosive issue of police killings of black men. The decision whether to bring civil rights charges against a New York police officer for the July 2014 death of Eric Garner had hung fire for years. As in any encounter in which a white officer's actions lead to a black man's death, there was a sustained cry for action against the officer. Mr. Barr finally made the tough call and took the heat. There will be no federal civil rights case. The current opposition to Mr. Barr centers on his effort to learn the predicate, if there was one, for the unprecedented investigation into a U.S. presidential campaign. Messrs. Comey and Brennan have repeatedly and publicly questioned Mr. Barr's motives. They and their media allies warn that declassifying documents from the inquiry would set a dangerous precedent. Mr. Barr shows no signs of backing down. He's not backing down. The investigation is actually expanding. There was a lot of wrongdoing, and he is determined to find out what went wrong. Baker goes on, he is also looking at the culture of political correctness that has caused the FBI and other agencies to slink away from a frank discussion of the Islamist threat. This has gone far beyond the knee-jerk PC of watch your words. During the Robert Mueller and Comey years, it allowed advocacy groups like the Council on American-Islamic Relations to get their nose under the FBI tent. Those who now work under Mr. Barr speak of him the same way we did during his first tour. He knows no fear. His willingness to confront what went wrong in the collusion investigation will lead to changes in how the FBI handles politically sensitive investigations in the future. The process of applying for a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court warrants will be reformed. He formed a close bond with Bureau management during his first tour. He is doing the work that needs to be done to restore the Bureau's reputation. Today's FBI is lucky to have Mr. Barr as Attorney General. I want to go back to his first paragraph when he says, Mr. Barr has the character and experience to get the Bureau back on track. It's fascinating looking into the timeline of events about how Bill Barr got into this position, how he made it to Attorney General. And I really encourage you to read Mr. Gerald Fleury's article. This is from August of 2019. I think this is two issues ago in the Trumpet magazine. It's titled, Can President Trump Get Control of His Own Divided Government? I'll just read a brief snippet from this. He says, Mueller's efforts were part of the deep state that flowed from President Obama's administration right into Mr. Trump's presidency. Those unelected lawyers think they know better than everyone. I think God set them a trap and then shredded the case for obstruction that Mueller was trying to prove. This is part of God temporarily saving America by the hand of Jeroboam. Now they are being pursued by a man who reveres the law and loves the Constitution. That's the sort of character that author in the Wall Street Journal was talking about. The FBI should be thankful to have a man who reveres the law and loves the Constitution. Mr. Fleury says, I believe we are going to start to get an even clearer view of the rot that was there, and it will be significantly cleaned up. So it will be exposed, and then it will be cleaned up. Mr. Fleury wrote that 2 or 3 months ago. Actually, I think the sermon that article was based on, that was from back in May. And here we have 3 or 4 months down the road where other writers are saying the same thing. He's the man for the job. He's the man that will clean it up. And what's so fascinating is to read about what Bible prophecy says about these events. Mr. Fleury continues, there are already whistleblowers who see what Barr is doing and are coming forward to reveal the wrongdoing they are privy to. I believe that God had a hand in Mr. Barr coming along. Somebody had to come in, reverse the Obama reverse what the Obama administration had done and help Jeroboam save Israel. And Amos 7 verse 13 indicates that the president is going to gain control of what is done in those powerful federal buildings and be able to rule the country. So the deep state is going to start acting more and more desperate. They're getting more and more angry. They hate to be exposed. I'd encourage you again, go back and read that article from Mr. Fleury. Can President Trump get control of his own divided government? And go through that article and make those highlights and then watch the news. Watch as these stories come to pass. These are very exciting times and we need to understand what the Bible teaches about them. Well, that's about all that I have time for today. Thank you for listening. Remember that you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you again for joining us today, and we will see you next week.